As a basis for our study this morning, I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll begin reading at verse 1, but we're going to notice particularly verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I want you to think with me about what I've titled The Road to Complete Apostasy. Great many people in our society today oppose this idea and say that one cannot fall, that in fact it is impossible to apostatize. I have a quote from the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches by Edward T. Hiscox, page 67. That quote says, "We believe the Scriptures teach that such as are truly regenerate, being born of the Spirit, will not utterly fall away and perish, but will endure unto the end." This is what we term the doctrine of once saved, always saved. I had a co-worker many years ago who made the statement to me that the happiest day in his life was the day he was saved. The next happiest day in his life was the day he realized he could not be lost. And we had a pretty long discussion about that statement. And I asked him, I said, "Do you mean to tell me that if you died in the act of committing murder or fornication or bank robbery or something of that nature, that you wouldn't be lost?" He said, "That's right." He said, "There's absolutely nothing I can do that will cause me to be lost." That is the teaching of many of the mainline denominations in our society today. I realize that a lot of people who are in these denominations do not believe that. I talked with individuals recently who are part of one of the mainline denominations that teach this. Their manual teaches this. And he said, "I don't believe that." So there are a number of people who do not believe this particular doctrine. But nevertheless, it is a doctrine that is taught in the religious world. But the sad part is that many who are members of the body of Christ, it seems, live as if they believe this doctrine. In the text that we read, it's quite obvious that one can fall. And Paul here shows the process by which this apostasy comes. And we won't talk about that in our study this morning. But as we talk about this road to complete apostasy, I want to understand that in order to fall, one must reach a position from which to fall. You can't fall from somewhere you're not. I can't fall off this building if I'm not on top of this building. Impossibility. So in order to fall, one has to have reached a position from which to fall. We understand that we become children of God by faith. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, "You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so we become children of God through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We understand that the Bible is the only source of faith. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith is produced in the individual through a hearing of God's word. That's the only source of faith. Faith, the Hebrew writer says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that thing that gives us the confidence that something we can't see is actually there. I believe there's a place called Paris, France, but I've never been there. I've never seen it. There are people who have seen it. They've been there, and they've come back, and they've told that there is such a place, but I haven't seen it. I accept the fact that it's there based on the testimony of those who have witnessed that. That's true in regard to spiritual matters. I believe what the Word of God says, because I believe those men who wrote the Bible were inspired of God, inspired of the Holy Spirit. In order to please God, we must walk by faith. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I've seen heaven. I don't know any human being living that's ever seen heaven. The Apostle Paul said he was caught up in the third heaven. He saw things that were things that man shouldn't utter. Some suggest that Paul was allowed to see heaven. I don't know. But Jesus came from heaven and he went back to heaven. He's now at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He's now in heaven. He spoke about heaven. We have the testimony of those who were his followers in regard to heaven. In order to be able to enter that place, we have to walk by faith, because we haven't seen it. And those who walk by faith are the ones who remain free from the guilt of sin. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth. And believing is the same as having faith. To everyone that believeth, to Jew first and also to Greek. For therein, that's in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just by faith shall live. We live by faith. We walk by faith. In John, 1 John 1 and verse 7, John said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The result of walking in the light is having fellowship one with another and having the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. And so, in this way, we enter this relationship with Jesus Christ. We have come out of the world and been have translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we're now in a place, and it is a place from which we can fall, as we noted there, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is the beginning of the steps to apostasy. Paul enumerates, I believe, four steps here in verses 3 and 4 that leads to complete apostasy. I believe the first one deals with the matter of an attitude. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's an attitude, a wrong attitude, not willing to listen to, pay attention to, sound doctrine. Sound involves the idea of that which is healthy, that which is pure. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. This is a compromising attitude toward the preaching of the gospel. You hear people make statements like, let's preach the gospel and leave everybody else alone. You hear also people talk about, don't preach negative. Don't tell us what not to do. You preach positive things. You tell us how we need to feel good about ourselves. Preach all these positive things, love and joy and peace, all those things that make us feel good. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach about negative things, about people being lost in the devil's hell. But you'll notice that the Apostle Paul here says that you must reprove. You must rebuke, you must exhort. When he said, preach the word, be instant or be ready at all times, out of season, in season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, how are you going to do this? With all long-suffering and doctrine, you're going to be an individual who puts up with or suffers long. It has to do with the idea of patience. But at the same time, you do it with doctrine or teaching, with long-suffering and doctrine. And so there's a great deal of teaching that needs to be done. Paul, writing to Titus, said, the grace of God appeared to all men, teaching us God's grace teaches us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We are taught by the Word of God. In Acts 20 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." We can't leave any of it out. We've got to teach all of it. Because obviously truth is important. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." There must be a love for truth. A sincere desire to have truth. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus in the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We understand that hunger and thirst are two of the strongest desires that's common to mankind. Hunger and thirst after righteousness in order to be filled. Proverbs 23, verse 23, Solomon said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." This illustrates to us just how important truth is. Buy the truth, sell it not. Get truth and hold on to it. Don't let it leave. Sometimes people today become angry at the preaching of the truth. I knew a man who served as an elder in the Lord's church. He's passed on his reward now. But he was converted because he became angry at what the preacher was preaching. He told me, he said, "I went home and I got my Bible down. I was going to prove that man that what he was teaching was wrong." He was firmly convinced that what the preacher was preaching was error, wasn't the truth. And so he was determined to show from the Bible. You see, he had a respect for the Word of God. He was determined to show from the Bible that what the man was teaching was error. But the more he studied, the more he came to realize that what the man was preaching was the truth. And as a result, he obeyed the gospel and was faithful to the Lord until his death. Served as an overseer in the Lord's church for many, many years. I worked with the man for a while. He was a very humble man, very dedicated man. Wrote a lot of good articles for Bulletin. But he became a Christian because he got angry at the preaching of the truth. But that doesn't happen to everybody. A lot of people get angry at the preaching of the truth and they just stop and go away mad and don't search the scriptures. Remember what Jesus told the Jews? Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. These Jews thought they knew the scriptures, but they didn't really know the scriptures. And so they need to go back and search them again. You see, all this deals with an attitude that people have toward truth. This wrong attitude that will not endure sound doctrine. But not only is this true, they have those who they gather to themselves and refer to as false teachers. They gather to themselves those who will tickle their ears. They heap to themselves teachers. When the preaching of truth angers, many times what people do is just get rid of the preacher. When what the preacher says makes you angry because you're not willing to listen to and examine what's taught in the light of the scriptures, instead of heeding the message, you just get rid of the messenger. So you can find someone who will tell you what you want to hear. If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the Israelites did this very thing. In Isaiah chapter 30 at verse 10, there the text says, "Which say to the seers," the seers were the prophets, "say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things." Don't tell us what's right. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. What that really means is tell us lies. Tell us what we want to hear. It doesn't matter whether it's the truth or not. Over Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31, Jeremiah said, "The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Prophets prophesy falsely. Priests bear rule by their means, that is, by whatever they think they ought to do. And what was the attitude of the people? The people love to have it so. There are a number of warnings that Jesus gives in regard to this particular phenomenon. Those who heap to themselves false teachers gather around them to think people who will tell them what they want to hear. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now listen to how Jesus said they come to you. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look pretty on the outside. They look meek, humble, gentle. They talk real smooth, have great sweating words, and make you think that they know what they're talking about. Jesus said they're false teachers, false prophets. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 11, the apostle Paul said, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Lucre is simply ill-gotten gain. Money that is obtained through deceit or lies. These are the kinds of people that folks like to have around them. As Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Yeah, Peter doesn't leave any doubt about the fact that this is going to be the case. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, or their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or pretended words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. There were false prophets in the past. There's going to be false prophets among you, false teachers. And so we just have to be assured that there are false teachers today. Many congregations of the Lord's people have apostatized because of the preacher. Because he tried to please the people instead of trying to save the people. Instead of pleasing the Lord, he's pleasing the people. And as a result, people go into apostasy. That's the result of false teachers. You notice then he talks about turning away their ears from the truth. Verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. These are the people who do not endure sound doctrine. People get to the point that they have no desire for truth. They're not going to listen. You remember Jesus in verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The only thing that we have in this world that will make us free from sin is the truth. And as John said, being sanctified by thy truth, thy word is truth. The word of God is the only truth we have to matters of religion. What men say has absolutely nothing to do with whether it's truth or right or not. As Peter pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, on the unfeigned love of the truth, you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You have to have a love of the truth. Otherwise, you're going to be lost. Because we're purified through obeying the truth. Understand that there is no more sacrifice after a knowledge of the truth, and then there is willful sin. In the same context, if we read quite frequently Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 in regard to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one so much the more you say, approaching, if you then read the next verse, in verse 26, he said, for if we sin willfully, and I believe there's an implication in that statement as it's connected to verse 25, willfully forsaking or abandoning the assembling of ourselves together, and now that's not talking about when one is unable to be in the assembly, one's sick and unable to be in the assembly, but he's talking about someone who willfully abandons, quits assembling together with the saints of God. That's the context in which this is written. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, listen to the rest of that verse, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What happens when you sin willfully? You deliberately decide you're going to go your own way. You're going to do things the way that you think you ought to be doing. As you continue reading there in verse 27, he says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Then he goes on in verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer or worse punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and undone, and have done despite of the Spirit of grace. This is the individual who will not receive the truth. Those who turn away their ears from hearing the truth. What we need to understand is that there is absolutely nothing else that can save us when we refuse the sacrifice that was made for us. We count it an unholy thing, the writer said. We have done despite unto the grace of God. Accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he sanctified an unholy thing. And it done despite of the Spirit of grace. That's what happened when you sin willfully. When you turn away from the truth. And then as he continues, you're turned unto fables. That's acceptance of any and everything taught. A fable is a story that's simply told over and over. And sometimes it gets to the point where people accept it as fact. It begins when people know that it's just a story. Something is made up. But it's told over and over so many times that then people began to accept it as truth. We just must understand that God will not allow this. Because Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, for this cause God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God won't allow us to be a part of his kingdom when we turn to that which is not according to truth. We'll accept anything and everything. But understand that God will allow us to accept those things. That's what Paul's talking about there in 2 Thessalonians. God will send them strong delusion they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who derive satisfaction, those who derive joy from things that are not according to truth, God allows that. God has never forced anyone at any time in the history of man to accept truth. And yes, God has punished people who didn't accept truth many, many times all throughout Scripture. One of the classic examples is a man who touched the Ark of the Covenant. God told them they shouldn't touch it. They did, they died. Well, they were transported the Ark, went across a place where the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to steady the Ark. He died immediately. Because that's what God said. Death was a punishment for that infraction of his law. Death is still the punishment for infraction of his law. Spiritual death. We don't die immediately when we commit sin. If we did, there wouldn't be anybody here today. Because remember Romans 3:23 says all have sinned come short of the glory of God. So we all sin from time to time. But punishment for sin is not immediate. Yes, at times there are physical consequences of sin. No doubt about that. But the eternal consequence of sin is out yonder in the future somewhere. It's after we leave this life. But when truth is unagreeable, when people are unwilling to listen to truth, when they just don't want to hear the truth, then the wildest fancies or the most childish beliefs become acceptable. Doesn't matter what it is. Once saved, always saved is a very comforting doctrine. In fact, the manual says that. It's a doctrine that's full of comfort. And indeed it is. If I believe, like the gentleman that I work with believed, that there was absolutely nothing I could do that would cause me to be lost, that'd be a very comforting thought. But to his credit, he did go on to say that the person who has truly been saved is not going to want to do those kind of things. Well, that certainly is true. The person who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who's made clean from all of his sin and been added to the family of God, that individual is not going to want to do those things, but that doesn't mean he's not going to at times. Because we're still human beings. We're susceptible to sin. And we do, in fact, sin at times. We can't even go back to the old law. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of none effect of you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. People say, no, you can't do that. Well, Paul said you do that even if you go back and try to justify yourself by the law. We're not under the law of Moses today. We're under the law of Christ. And we can't go back under the law of Moses and justify ourselves. Because it is the law of Christ that will judge us. John chapter 12, verse 48, there in the text says that his word will judge us in the last day. The word that I have spoken, the signs of judgment in the last day. We need to understand, know for sure, that it is the truth that can make us free. But when you turn your ears away from the truth, when you turn to faith, when you allow false teachers to come in to teach error, when you have this attitude toward truth, if you won't endure sound doctrine, you won't put up with teaching the truth, you're on the road to complete apostasy. When we talk about complete apostasy, we understand that the Bible warns about this. That's what Paul is warning there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Actually continues on down through verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 through verse 7. He warns of some of the same things he does in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, now the Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Paul warned Timothy that in the latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you look in the writings of Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, there beginning in verse 15, Peter warns along the same lines. He says, beginning in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. What we understand is that when we recognize the truth, and we fail to accept the truth, we're on the road to apostasy. You read further, that was 1 Peter I read, and turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, "Account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." He said, there's some things that are hard to understand. People are unlearned and unstable, twist them. But he said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness." Remember, we began by talking about the fact that you can't fall from somewhere where you are not. Peter said you can fall from your own steadfastness. And when that happens, then it's very difficult to restore an individual. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4, "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall turn away, to renew them again unto repentance." Now you understand in this passage did not say it was impossible for them to repent. He's not saying it's impossible for people to come back. But the impossibility is for you to renew them again to repentance. And then he tells the reason why. "Seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put into an open shame." When a person has rejected the only thing that can save their soul, what else can you offer them? They rejected the only thing available to them that will result in their salvation. There's absolutely nothing else I can offer them to bring them back to the Lord because they rejected the Lord. Now, when they decide that they want to return to the Lord, then they can. The Lord will take them back if they will, in humility, turn from their sins, confess them to God, and ask His forgiveness. This illustrates the difficulty of restoring one who has traveled the road to complete apostasy. Well, what's the solution? The solution is simply to remain steadfast in our desire for truth. Remember the verse we read earlier from Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's the kind of an attitude that I must have if I want to remain steadfast in my service to the Lord. The road to complete apostasy is a road that many, many have traveled. And sad to say, many of those who were our brethren, and some still probably are our brethren, but they're erring brethren, they've gone into complete apostasy. And so we must take heed lest we fall, as Paul told the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So I have to always keep the right attitude. I have to have a desire for truth. I need to beware of false teachers. I need to refuse to turn from truth and turn to fables. If I have that attitude, then the fables will hold no interest for me. My interest will be on truth. So we must always be on guard because our enemy is always there. He said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." The danger is always present. The danger of apostasy is always there. It takes an awareness on our part that that danger exists so that we can refuse to travel the road to apostasy that the Apostle Paul described for us there in our text. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Remember, Paul said it's the power of God to salvation. So if you're willing to hear the word of God, allow it to produce faith in your heart, and that faith then will cause you to turn from your sins and be willing to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then the Lord will add you to His family, the church, the body of Christ. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've drifted back into sin, you've allowed false teachers to deceive you, you need to return to the Lord, the shepherd and bishop of your soul, in repentance, asking Him to forgive you. If you need to respond, the Lord of Invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.
Come to Jesus.